What has God been doing in your life? How has the Holy Spirit been present? And what does it mean to be at home? I think these are the kinds of questions that were being asked this morning from our gospel reading. And you may wonder, why are we reading this? This was right after the Last Supper, just before Jesus was crucified. But what we have here is called the final, or the farewell discourse, Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples that were gathered around that Last Supper meal. He'd already been betrayed by Judas, had already sealed the deal with a kiss, and was off. But we enter this part of the gospel story with a question from Judas, which you don't get to hear, which is, Jesus has been talking about leaving, and where I'm going, you will find the way. And a little earlier we hear, well, how will we know the way? And Jesus says, well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we get a little further, just before this reading, and Judas, not Iscariot, one of the other disciples, and this is the question that he asks, is, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us, but not to the world? And then Jesus begins to say, you will, those who love me will find me. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, I will take you with me. And in the meanwhile, you will have a comforter, the Holy Spirit. So in 2 weeks, we will celebrate Pentecost, which is the church's, the receiving of the Holy Spirit by the church. And so all during Eastertide, which we're in right now, we read out of the book of Acts, which is our first reading rather than an Old Testament reading. And the star in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit. So what we have is, we hear from Peter, we hear from Paul, and how the early church was being built up, and how the we have our diocesan convention, we have our big church, the Episcopal Church has its conventions where we go over things and try to decide things. Well, that was happening right away after the early church was starting in Jerusalem. We had the Jerusalem Council, and we had the early church trying to figure out, really, what is the faith? How are we to live this out? What customs and rituals that we carried over from our Jewish tradition that are important or that are deal breakers? What should we keep? What should we throw away? All those kind of things. But then the giving of the Holy Spirit was the sign of the beginning of all of this after Jesus' departure. In fact, Ascension Day is this Thursday, and we celebrate Jesus' lifting up into heaven. And then about 10 days later, it's the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So just to anchor us into the kind of time that we're in right now. So this idea of, Jesus, how is it that you're going to reveal yourself to us, but not to the world? So I was wondering this myself, and I took a look at some of what the scholars have to say about the world and our place in it as believers in Christ, as followers of God in Jesus. And I think this is very helpful. What we hear is that the world is something, yes, God loves. God created the world. God gave his only begotten Son so that we should have eternal life. God did not send God's Son into the world to condemn the world. But there's this idea of the world, and you may have heard this, that we are in the world but not of the world. I think that's the sphere in which Jesus is talking to Judas, not Iscariot, in this answer to the question today. So as we dig a little deeper, I hear scholars talk about the world in this context as being that idea, that realm of unbelief, that realm of evil, that realm where we feel as though we are we've come to this existence on our very own, that we live on our very own, sort of unto ourselves, and that we don't understand the greater depth in which we have been created by God, in which God is necessary in our lives, and that we find a desire to have a relationship with God who is love. And so I just want to tell a story about it might, and I think this all dovetails into home. Because when you think about home, and I think about home, we can think of all kinds of things. We think about our physical buildings that we live in. We think about our church home, for sure, this building. But we also know the church is more than the building. It's, in fact, the church is every single one of us here today, really. Without the building, the church still exists. And that's the same of our physical homes, that without our structures, we can have a home that is for today and for later. And we find that home in Jesus. I had last week when I was in the soup kitchen at Crossroads, which I'll be going to after the later service, and then holding the Eucharist at 1 o'clock there in the chapel. Often people will, you know, I get to talk with people and sit with them and get to know people and hear their stories. And last week, something really interesting happened, and it reminded me of what it can be to feel as though Jesus is our home, and to understand that there's something beyond what we see and what we might unlock with a physical key to get in, but there's another home that resides in us and that we long for and that we seek. And so this man came up to me last week, and he was in a wheelchair, and he said, I want to talk to someone better than me. And I said, I'm not better than you. And I want to talk to somebody better than me. I said, I'm not better than you. We went through this like 3 times, and finally I just said, you know, why don't we have a prayer? And so I said, so there was somebody else I was sitting with, and so we had a prayer together, and I signed him in the name of the Trinity, and there was another person that came by who was from one of our churches serving that day. It was just a very holy moment. But what was interesting was while he was talking, every time he talked, he put his hands over his mouth. I'm thinking, why are you doing that? I can't hear you as well. And at the same time, I want to accept you wherever, you know, what's going on. And he volunteered this information. He said to me, I'm putting my hands over my mouth because I don't want you to smell my breath. And I thought, oh, that is so honest. That is so honest. And I think it's a clue to maybe what was going on for him was that, you know, we all stand in for the presence of God as the church, don't we? And people can sense that. And he was seeking home, I think, that day. And, you know, by the grace of God, he was vulnerable enough to come to me to feel as though he could confess this thing that, you know, he'd been drinking or whatever, or maybe he had, maybe it wasn't alcohol, I don't know. But to not be undone by that, to know that the door is open, that whatever condition, whatever state he is in, he could approach God through the people of God gathered together. And so it comes back to this idea of home being our heart in God, who forgives us, who never gives up on us, whose door is always open. There's another thing we're trying to do, which is to start a new parent group at the church at Crossroads. And this is from people who come in during the week, who are parents, part of the parent class. And one of the people we got to meet and has been coming is a mom. She's about 30, and she has a 2-year-old. And she started talking about her website. I'm like, you have a website? She said, yeah, and I'm about ready to publish an ebook. Well, she published it about 2 weeks ago, and it's on Amazon, and I have her information if you'd like to read it. In fact, I'd love it if you would support her. It's $5. It's on your Kindle. But anyhow, the name of the book is I'm Still Standing by the Grace of God. And the main point is that she's been through an abusive relationship, and you know, you will obviously read things that are, you know, kind of rough and tumble of life, but at the same time, many, many times she makes the point that none of us have to stand in that, that we need to love ourselves enough to want to respect our own selves, to want the best for us, to want to be kind, have a relationship in kindness and spirit that's loving. And so it's her lessons learned, basically. And they're just back to this idea of, by the grace of God, I'm still standing. And I think that's the part that Jesus is trying to say to his disciples in this morning's gospel. And that's the message for us. And we know that the Spirit is alive and active and present. And you all are doing that kind of work, and you're in a place right now where you're getting ready to call a rector. It's a very exciting time. The Holy Spirit is present and active in your congregation and always calling us home, even while we're here. So I just pray that you anchor into that in the week ahead, that wherever you feel as though you may need to sort of close that gap and be more deeply rooted into God, who is love, the one who forgives us, the one who is grace. I pray that for you. And I'll close with this thought that somebody from our leadership team says, I said, why is the Church of Crossroads important? But I think it's a universal message. And he says, riches are relevant, but God's love is everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.